Thank you, Laura. I'm a little partial. I always love when she does the special music. She's awesome. Well, praise the Lord. Again, welcome everyone. Good to see you this morning. Praise the Lord. Pastor Victor asked me a little over a week ago to share a word with you guys. So I've just been praying and asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, what do you have for us as a body, and what do you have for me even as an individual? And praying that the Lord will speak to us today. Before I start the message, though, we'd gotten a text from Tommy that Margie's cousin, Mary, who's come and visited us, I think, a handful of times, really sweet lady, had went to be with the Lord yesterday. So from my understanding, I think when she was about 25, she gave her heart to the Lord and really lived for Jesus her entire life. So it is never easy losing a loved one. And we're comforted, though, that she's in the manifest presence of Jesus right now. But just want to remember Margie and her family in prayer as the Holy Spirit leads you. It's never easy, even when they do know Jesus. But I just wanted to kind of start off, just lift up a prayer for Margie and for her family. So, Lord, we just thank you for your nearness, Lord, in the midst of loss, Lord. Even when we know a loved one is with you, Lord, it's never easy. But, Lord, I thank you for your promise, Lord, that you will comfort us, Lord, that you always comfort us in these times of mourning, Lord. And we just declare your peace. We declare your Holy Spirit comfort upon Margie, upon Mary's loved ones, her family, immediate family, and all those who knew her. I just declare, Holy Spirit, you would bring divine comfort and peace. And we just thank you for this child of God, the sister in the Lord. And I just thank you for her life, Lord. It's just, I just thank you for how she loved you. And we just bless this family. And I just, lift them up in prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I was praying about what to share, I was kind of led to a passage, kind of a little backstory, we're in a time of fasting, 40 days, we're on day 14. Praise the Lord, it's just the Holy Spirit leading us as a body through Pastor Victor, and it's just awesome to be able to do that as a body in a united way. And whenever I fast, generally, most of the time, I would say not every time, but most of the time, the Lord kind of highlights a certain passage to me to remind me about why I'm fasting and really what the Lord desires from me when I fast. So before I start, I'm just going to lift up one quick prayer just for the Lord to speak through me today. Lord Jesus, I just empty myself. Lord, I say apart from you, I can do absolutely nothing. Lord, I just give myself to you. I just pray that you would use me, Lord, to be your mouthpiece. I pray you would speak through me and you'd speak during this time to our hearts. We say, Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear what the Spirit would say. Lord, anything that would be of me, Lord, it would just be cast to the ground. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts through your word, the words of Jesus, and that you would find fertile soil, Lord, that would bear root and would bear much fruit for your glory. Lord, we'd give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So I titled this message, Reconnecting Our Hearts to the Bridegroom. It's up there. It's out of a passage in Matthew, chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. Like I said, kind of how I got to this passage was whenever I fast, just in my personal fasting time, or even when there's a time of corporate fasting, the Holy Spirit kind of always reminds me of this passage that talks about fasting. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, Why do we fast and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. I just thought it was interesting. I generally go to this passage to look at this topic of fasting, but I just saw how it was linked. It's really in context. The new wineskins and the new wine versus, the old wineskins and the old wine and the new cloth and the old cloth. I've thought about that. I meditate on that, those passages, but I never really saw it in context with fasting. And just, like I said, I was led to this passage first because a great revelation that the Lord's blessed me with in my walk with the Lord is as the House of Prayer in Kansas City really have ushered this to our nation and to the nations, is really the bridal paradigm. Many of you have heard of the bridal paradigm. It's a revelation of Jesus as our bridegroom and how he loves us in a passionate way and a very intimate way as a husband. And we are called the bride of Christ corporately as a body, but as an individual. I know that can be kind of hard for some of the guys. I know it's like we're the bride of Christ as well. And it's talking of a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. So I've been blessed with that revelation of Jesus as my bridegroom. And I can proudly say that, or I can say that confidently, Jesus is my bridegroom. Hallelujah. And if it's hard for you to get there, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. but when he does reveal himself to you as bridegroom, it's powerful that Jesus loves me passionately, that he wants to meet with me in a very deep personal way. So when I fast, I think of this passage. It says the Pharisees and disciples of John, they fast often, but your disciples, Jesus, their disciples don't fast at all. Like, why is this? And he says, there is coming a time when they will fast, is when the bridegroom takes them away, and then they'll fast. So as I've meditated on this passage before, I always kind of, when I'm in a time of fasting, either personally, corporately, I'm like, I always pray the Holy Spirit would give me a heart. Lord, Holy Spirit, I want this fast to be a time of longing and desire to meet with the bridegroom, to meet with Jesus in an intimate way. As Pastor Victor has even been exhorting us, yes, we want to pray for revival. Yes, we want to pray for breakthrough and for provision and all these things. But really, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, reasons why we fast is to meet with God. And so I was just like meditating on this. Lord, I pray you give me grace. You would give us grace to enter into this time of fasting with this heart. And then I was kind of looking at this in context. It talks about new wineskins and new wine. And Pastor Victor, has been sharing about new vision and, prophetic vision for us as a body and just 2018 and just this new year. And just he's even proclaimed and declared, Lord, we're entering into a time of new wineskins, a new mindset, and we're going to enter in and we're going to experience new wine of your presence. And I've been saying, yes, Lord. I've always kind of thought, though, when I've looked at this passage, that it always was in context of new versus old, which I believe is true. Jesus, as I was kind of studying this passage, really, one could read this passage and study it and would say, yes, Jesus is talking about a new covenant and that there's a new way of doing things in our relationship with God. The old covenant, it wasn't a bad thing. It was a good thing. But there's a greater thing that's coming. And it's Jesus saying, is this revelation of Jesus as God as a bridegroom. And I'm going to have a relationship with my bride, really his desire for all humanity, in this deep, intimate way. So I really believe that is accurate interpretation of this passage. But a lot of times I just think of it, as new versus old, like, just new mindsets, whatever it might be. It could be in your life, your personal life, in your family, in your job, in church. There's a new mindset. There's a new way of doing things. And I don't want to mix that with the old. And I think that's true. I really do. I think that's an accurate way to look at the scriptures. It's a biblical principle, really, to not mix with the old with the new. And I was like, yeah, that's good. I've kind of always had that in my mind. But I looked at this passage in the last week or so, and I felt like the Holy Spirit like revealed something a little deeper and something new that I've never seen before. I was like, wow. It's always good when you're looking at a passage, you've read it like probably 100 times, and the Holy Spirit just like highlights something to you like you never saw before. Like, ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. And as I was looking at this passage, yes, he's talking about a new covenant. He's talking about a new era, a new time, a new way of relating with God versus the old. But then I was looking at this, it says, the question was from the disciples of Genesis, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. To me, I just had this like little shift, and I was like, wow. Jesus kind of is saying, this is from what I feel the Holy Spirit is, this is what I was looking at this passage, when I was looking at this passage. He's saying, not only new and old, yes, that is true, there is a new that's going to come and no longer be mixed with the old. But he's saying, is your heart connected with the bridegroom? And if your heart is connected with the bridegroom, you can be fasting, you can be doing really good things, but if it's not connected with the bridegroom, it's like mixing old with new. And it ends up being destroyed, ends up looking really bad, ends up causing a really mess. And I was just like, wow, I just never saw that. Not only is he doing something new, but he's really saying, is your heart connected with me as the bridegroom? Is your heart connected with me in an intimate way? Is there an intimate relationship going on with whatever you're doing? And I was like, wow, that is like new wineskins. Even though it is new, but it's not only new, it's a reality that we can experience in God where we can contain his presence, we can contain that intimacy, and it really be preserved, and it really be effective in our own lives and effective in what God's called us to do. So that's what the Holy Spirit was kind of leading to me, and I was just like, I was just meditating. I know I've been walking with the Lord for going on how many years? Like 14, going on 15. This will be year, and this February will be 15 years in the Lord. Yes, I know you can be walking with the Lord for many years, and yes, in my mind you can say yes, I love Jesus. But as I was just praying during this time of fasting and everything, I was just like, is my heart connected with Jesus in an intimate way? And I know I can say mentally yes, but really, is that a real reality in my heart? So I was kind of pondering that, and I kind of came up with a few questions that I asked myself, and I felt like would be just good for all of us, just to ask ourselves, not in a condescending way or condemning way, like, you know, are you loving Jesus? Is your heart connected? But really, just to be honest with ourselves, in this year, in this season, individually with your walk with God, and in this season as a body, as the bride of Christ, is our heart connected with Jesus as our bridegroom? So a few questions I just kind of thought would be interesting. Just to be real honest with Jesus, am I in love with Jesus? I know I can generally say, yes, I love Jesus. You know, I try to, by God's grace, each and every day, his mercies are new, and yes, I want to love Jesus. But I felt like the Holy Spirit was just like, am I not that? Not only do I love Jesus, but am I in love with Jesus? And I was like, wow, that's a good question. Like, Lord, am I in love with Jesus? Does my heart get excited and desire Jesus daily? And I was like, Lord, this is the reality that I desire for my own walk. Lord, I don't want to just love Jesus, but I want to be in love with Jesus. And And the other question, I just, really, the Holy Spirit kind of checked me. He says, am I doing everything that I'm doing because I'm in love with Jesus? You know, yes, I can do a lot of things. I can be a husband to my wife. I can be an elder here at Hilltop Campus Church. I can be a registered nurse in the hospital is my job. But am I doing everything that I'm doing because I'm in love with Jesus? And am I just going through the motions? You know, am I doing a lot of religious activities without really having an authentic, genuine heart connect with Jesus? Those are just some questions I was asking myself. And like, Lord, I really, by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, I don't want to just love you, but I want to be in love with you, Lord. I want to feel your love for me, and I want to have authentic emotions of loving you back in everything that I do. And I feel like when we have that and it's real in the Holy Spirit in our walk, things are easy. It's really, you're not doing things just to do it. You're doing everything that you're doing because you're in love with Jesus. It's like, wow, I get to have this intimate relationship with God. As intimate as a husband and a wife. Deep intimacy with Jesus. Everything that he speaks to me to do, I want to do it because I'm in love with him. Just to clarify, I know loving Jesus isn't only an emotion. Yes, loving Jesus is a commitment. And real love isn't just emotions or words, but it really is action. Jesus demonstrated his love for us, not only in words, but with his life. But it's not only with that. There is an emotional element. God is a God of emotions. He's created us with emotions, and he actually wants us to have a deep emotional love relationship with Jesus. And I was like, wow, Lord, I want this to be a reality. I know it has been, but Lord, I want it to be a new and a fresh reality in my heart. And I believe the Lord is inviting us during this time of fasting to really make this priority. That we can do a lot of things, do a lot of really good things, but if our heart isn't connected with Jesus with authentic, genuine love, it's like mixing old wineskins with new wineskins. Yeah, it might last a little bit, but eventually it's just going to break and be destroyed. So I really believe the Lord is entering us to a new season with new wineskins. So we can really enter in with the fresh wine of his love and intimacy and be effective with whatever he's called us to do. As we're worshiping, I just felt like the Holy Spirit had another little question in there. Was, am I in love with Jesus? But the other question was, do you know that Jesus is in love with you? I was like, wow, that's good. Jesus is in love with you. It's like, wow, do I really know that? And I just thought that was a good question. Not only am I in love with Jesus, but do I know? Do I really, really, really know that Jesus is in love with you? I know, yes, he loves us corporately. He loves all humanity. He loves his church. But he loves you very intimately, with great focus, with great passion. Jesus is in love with you. Wow. Lord, I want to know that. I was like, wow, Lord, make that real. Let us know your love, which kind of goes into my first point here. I just kind of, as I was meditating on this message, I felt like the Holy Spirit kind of led me to some insights to connecting our heart with Jesus. So the first one really is the revelation. So it's kind of talking about, you know, we really do need to have a revelation of God's love. It's, yes, I know you love me in my mind, but for us to really have this authentic love relationship with God and with Jesus as our bridegroom, we need a revelation of his love. It says in a few passages here, it says that we love him because he first loved us. So we have to have an experiential encounter with the love of Jesus for us to really love him back. And this is my prayer, Lord. And Paul writes in Ephesians, as Pastor Victor shared a few weeks ago, that a good prayer that he had a prayer for us as a body, but it's a good prayer for your own individual walk, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened. So that's just my prayer for myself. It's my prayer for us as a body. And really, during this time of 40 days, during these first 40 days, Lord, open the eyes of my heart like never before. Let me see you. Let me hear you. Let me encounter your love like never before so that I can love you back. I need this. I cannot go on without this. And also I put down Romans 5:8. It says, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I just was just meditating on that. He loves you where you are, but he loves you too much to keep you where you're at. I love that. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to go do a certain amount of things for him to earn his love. He says, while you're sinning, when you were a sinner, you didn't even know me, I loved you. And when you said yes to me, and I see you stumble, but I see your small yes, I still love you in your weakness. We need to have this revelation. You don't have to be perfect. But just have that revelation, encounter my heart. Lord, I just give you myself, Lord, and I'm so weak. I've failed. I've sinned. Lord, you love me, even in my weakness and my failures. And Lord, and through that revelation, you're empowering me to walk victorious in your love. Praise the Lord. So that's the starting point is revelation. We all need a fresh encounter, a fresh revelation with the love of Jesus, which kind of leads us to the next place is repentance. Up there, repentance. So from revelation to repentance, I kind of put in a nutshell, is returning to our first love. I think everyone here has a relationship with God. So I know repentance can mean a lot of things, but just in this context, I was just returning to our first love, that we would have this intimacy with God as when we first met Jesus. It says, which really makes sense too, with the revelation part being first, looking at Romans 2:4, it says, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. So as we have an encounter with the love of Jesus, him loving us, in our weakness, in our shortcomings, in our immaturity, he loves us, and it's his kindness, it's his love, his mercy that's leading me away. Wait, he still loves me when I'm all messed up, and it leads me to change the direction of my heart. You know what? I haven't made you number one. Yes, I love you, but I've not really had this intimate connection with you like I know is available. Lord, I want to turn my heart to you fresh and new, here and now, and as we enter into this new season as a church. And I just, another scripture that really highlights this really well about returning to our first love is out of Revelation 2:1-5. It says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, says he who holds the stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear with those who do evil, who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience. You have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. So Jesus is making it. You're doing a lot of really good things. I mean, like, Ephesus really was a powerful church in the New Testament, one of the biggest, most influential churches, doing a lot of these really good things. But he says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Jesus is serious about our love relationship with him. He's like, it's not okay for you just to go on and doing really good things. I must have your heart. And he's like, I'll destroy your whole ministry if you don't get this right. I'll take away your lampstand. It's not, even though I want you to have this lampstand, I want you to shine brightly in this dark world, you have to get this right. You have to have oil first for the lampstand so that you can burn brightly without things getting all messed up. So I just feel like, Lord, do this in our hearts. Do this in Hilltop Campus Church. Let us return to our first love and say, Jesus, you're everything. Lord, remove everything that's hindering me from loving you. And yes, you are calling us to do great and mighty things, but Lord, let it be out of the overflow of our love relationship. Praise the Lord. So that's one thing, is revelation, then repentance, and goes right into reignite. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit was leading me with the R's this time. This is a first time for me. I've shared it only a handful of times in my life, really publicly, but this is the first time I kept the letters all line up with R. Praise the Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Reignite. So as we repent, turn our hearts to Jesus, he doesn't want us just to repent and say, oh, Jesus, yes, I turn to you. He's like, yes, that's awesome. But he doesn't want us to stay there. He's like, yes, I see your heart turning to me. I want to set you on fire. I'm an all-consuming fire. As you're turning to me, I'm an all-consuming fire. You might not know it, but as you turn to me in your weakness, I want to set your heart on fire. To be an authentic, genuine passion out of your own heart. And I was like, oh, yes, Lord, do that in me. Do that in us. Reignite a true, genuine fire and passion for you. Which really, it's our identity as a body here as Hilltop. Following Jesus passionately advancing his kingdom. He wants us to be a people of passion. God is a God of passion. Jesus has great passion for us, and he has great passion for many things. So we want to enter into that passion, reigniting our hearts. I was just led to this passage in 2 Timothy 2:6 and 7. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. Also in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is so much more than just praying in tongues. I agree with Pastor Victor. 2018, year of praying in tongues. Let's pray in the Spirit more. It is a powerful gift from God that can be used in many awesome ways. A lot of people, myself included, a lot of times we think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as just the power of God. Yes, it is. It gives us boldness. It says you've not received a spirit of timidity, but of power, dunamis power, boldness to do miracles. But it also is a baptism of love. Yes, yes, this is a powerful gift, but I really believe that in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we can actually be baptized with fire. It says I've been baptized with spirit and fire. I want to baptize you with my love. And also, don't want to let discipline get out there. He wants to baptize with discipline as well. Praise the Lord. It's all three. But as I was just meditating on this, it's like, Lord, it says, rekindle. Kindle your heart. You've received this precious gift of the Holy Spirit in you. And which Holy Spirit was reminding me, he's like, you really can't do this on your own. Yes, you have emotions. Yes, you have a will. But really, you need the Holy Spirit to love Jesus. As we're talking about revelation, but you need the Holy Spirit daily. Even being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily being filled with the Holy Spirit. But there are times where we set apart a specific time for a fresh encounter with him. It's kind of what I put, reignite. There are times it's so much more than just praying in tongues. Setting apart time. First 40 days of the year is a great time. And even throughout the year, it's to sustain that flame, it's wise to strategically do it throughout the year. I love IHOP Kansas City. At first 3 days of every month, the first Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of every month, they start it with a fast. They call it the Bridegroom Fast. And at the end of the year, in December, they do a 7-day. But so then in totality, they do a 40-day fast all throughout the year. But they're always just rekindling that fire within themselves. First thing every month, let's do it first thing this year. Let's turn to Jesus and ask for a fresh baptism of fire, a fresh baptism of his love like never before. Amen. Hallelujah. Which then kind of goes into the next one. Next point. Relationship. Relationship. So, really, I've been talking about relationship, but there are some just real practical insights that have helped me, and that I know the Holy Spirit wants me to grow in greater ways. We're always growing in this together, but just cultivating relationship with God. It's that simple. Don't be deceived, as Eve was, from the simplicity of devotion. It's a real simple thing. It's about a relationship. And so I kind of put relationship, the divine romance, cultivating intimacy by spending time with Jesus. It really is that simple. Spending time with Jesus. Not just to check off the box, but actually like, oh, I wake up in the morning like, I want to spend time with Jesus. He loves me passionately. He wants to meet with me, and he wants to speak to my heart. So I kind of, the first point I put, encountering his love through his word. And yes, it is an awesome spiritual discipline to get in the word daily. But really, it's so much more. I love people, men and women of old have really said the Bible is God's love letter to humanity. And that's really what the word of God is. It's a love letter. Jesus wants to meet with you. And not just have some type of spiritual thing, you know, just to do something spiritual or have some nice spirituality of some sort. But it's about a relationship. He wants to speak to our hearts in the deepest way. And so I kind of just put a few verses that kind of really reflect that. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. It says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Great translation or really interpretation of, kiss me with the kisses of your word. It's a great thing when you're spending your quiet time with the Lord. Encourage everyone to have that quiet time with the Lord. Just pray, Jesus, kiss me with the kisses of your word. And it says, for your love is better than wine. It's better than any pleasure that this world can offer, both illegitimate and legitimate pleasure. Your love is better than wine. Lord, kiss my heart with your word. And he will. He will speak to your heart in a way that will just, it'll meet the deepest core need that we have, which is to know God. He wants to kiss us with his very word, which, like I said, helps cultivate that intimacy. Other great passages, as the bride of Christ, he says he washes us with the water of his word. I love that. He sanctifies us. He's preparing us pure and spotless, without blemish. I love that too. We don't have to like strive into holiness. He actually says, I'm going to sanctify you. I'm going to wash you with my word. If you just set your heart to meet with me in my word, I'm going to encounter you in my word. I'm going to make you holy because I've spoken to the depths of your soul. I was like, oh Lord, do that fresh and anew within us, Lord. Let us meet with you. Wash us with the water of your word. Lord, you're worthy of a pure and spotless, holy bride, fully in love with you. He's coming back, and he's going to come back for a wholehearted bride. So I believe that's just, he's doing this in our midst. Jesus is returning, and he's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. I believe Hilltop Campus Church is going to be a part of his pure and spotless bride, wholehearted in love with him before he returns. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some other just little insights, things that I feel is beneficial, cultivating intimacy with Jesus, prayer and fasting, becoming lovesick for a deeper relationship. As I kind of talked about, a great revelation out of Matthew chapter 9 talks about this longing for the bridegroom. The bridegroom will be taken away, but there's going to be a time when you will fast. And you will fast because you long for Jesus, both in an intimate, personal way, right in the here and now, but you long for his return as well. So fasting mixed with prayer really can help, can really prepare our hearts and really position our hearts to receive his love in a greater way. We're not earning, as Pastor Victor has shared over and over, we're never earning the love of Jesus. He already loves us so extravagantly, but fasting and prayer just kind of aligns us I think Mike Bickle says it's like a landing strip. We're just kind of positioning. It's already there. It's already flowing. It's just right there. You just fasting kind of just puts us right in the stream of things. Oh, yes. And sometimes our flesh doesn't like it, but if you still say yes with the right heart, you will encounter the love of Jesus through fasting. That's my prayer for us during these 40 days. Last point here, obedience, the true test of love. It's easy to say, yes, I love you, Jesus, I really do. But really, the test of love, it says, if you really love me, you'll obey me. And he says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And he says, then my Father will love you, I will love you, and I will manifest myself to you. Jesus is not saying, if you have to love me first, and then I'm going to love you. Like I said, he says, we love because he first loved us. But he's really just waiting. He's like, I want them to mature in love. I know they say they love me. Yes, they've experienced my love. But there's a place of maturing where we actually step forth in obedience and love for him. He'll speak to us some general things. There's some very general things. Love God with all of our heart. Love one another. But sometimes he calls us to do specific things. And he loves us. He wants us to see us grow in love for him. And he does this through our obedience. He's like, I want you to grow in love. Yes, I see your fears. And I really look at this as a fear thing. Because it says, his perfect love casts out fear. He's really just dealing with the fear of our hearts. His obedience is really a fear thing. Do I really trust him, or am I gonna be fearful? And he's like, I want you to be completely confident in my love, and I want you to obey me without any fear, knowing that I love you already. But there's also a special, it's like I look at this as just a special blessing of walking and growing in love with Jesus. And he's so patient with us. We might say no to Jesus so many times, and he's still patient. He's like, I'm waiting. I'm going to speak something to you. And even if you say no in your fear, he's still so patient with us. And there's going to be that day when you say, yes, I'm going to obey you because I love you. And then what he says is like, oh, yes, you're growing in love. Fear is no longer have grip of your heart. But also, there's going to be a greater experience that you'll have in my love. It's like, wow, I love you, Jesus. I'm going to obey you because I love you. And he's like, my Father's going to love you, and I'm going to manifest my love to you in a greater way. It's growing in love, walking in love, in obedience with Jesus. It's a process, as Pastor Victor would say. Praise the Lord. Let's say yes to loving Jesus through our obedience. And then last but not least, is reproduction. The fruit of true intimacy with God. And this was really the convicting part. One of the convicting things the Lord was speaking to me as I was preparing. And he's been actually speaking some of this stuff to me for a couple weeks. Of true intimacy has fruit. It's very scriptural. And I was like, Lord, do I have fruit? Is there real fruit? Are we being fruitful? Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life? Is there souls being saved and discipled? Is Christ being reproduced in others through my life? And I was just like, really, Holy Spirit, like, Lord, am I really into, and like, if I don't have that fruit, no condemnation. God is loving us where we're at, but I believe he's calling us to be fruitful as individuals, in our families, in every area of our lives, but as a church, he's calling us to be fruitful. But for us to be fruitful, you have to have this. You cannot be fruitful apart from being intimate and one with Jesus. It says it really clearly here in John 15. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I mean, I don't want to be some super... I just let the Holy Spirit convict us. He says, if you abide in me, he says, you will have much fruit. So kind of the test would be, am I bearing much fruit? And if not, am I abiding in Jesus? Am I abiding in this intimate relationship that he's called us to? I believe he's calling us to fruitfulness. Not that I believe there has been good fruit, but I believe he's called us to much fruit. And I believe he's inviting us to that intimacy with him that will have lasting and much fruit that will last forever, both in our hearts and in ministry. This was really one of the ones that kind of got me on that same mind, that thought of being fruitful. Matthew 4:19, it says, "Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" I saved the last one. This is the most convicting one. This last one. Maybe, I don't know. It's good. It's a good conviction. It's a clean conviction. Oh, Lord. It says, he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So kind of the test here to see if this is true. Am I winning souls to Christ? Am I drawing people to Jesus? Am I being a fisher of men? My answer, I don't know. A little bit, but not too much. So then the question to me is like, am I really following Jesus? Am I really near to him daily? Yes, I'll follow you in the comfort of my home. I'll follow you when I'm at church. But am I going to follow him out there where it's a little scary sometimes? I want to follow Jesus everywhere I go, each and every day. And he says, if I follow him, he's going to make me a fisherman. You don't have to be some great evangelist. Jesus says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. When you're having that intimate relationship with God in a true, authentic way, it will affect you and it will affect others. And I believe we're going to be in a season of effectively winning souls to Christ. Not because it's a religious thing, I got to win so many people to Christ, but we're going to have this love relationship. It's just going to overflow from our hearts. It's going to be authentic. We're going to have new wineskins, a new manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and people are going to get drawn to Jesus like never before. Can I get an amen? praise the Lord. You guys are awesome. I love you guys. So, winning souls of Christ, so much more than that. We're called out of this intimacy with God to reproduce Christ in others. Effective discipleship. I love 1 Corinthians 4:15, it says, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ I have begotten you." There's that fruitfulness through the gospel. Yes, we're going to see people won to Christ. They're going to be born again. But he says that it's so much more than that. He wants us to be loving fathers and raise up sons and daughters of God. He wants to see Christ formed in those who come to Christ, and for them to grow in maturity and be discipled and then released in their destiny and calling. So, praise the Lord. It is a miracle. I actually got done 2 minutes early. Wow. That is a miracle. That is a sign and wonder. Praise the Lord. Well, that really is conclusion of this message. I really believe the Lord is inviting us. Oh, actually, there's one. I really did want to close with a passage. If Crusoe could throw it up there, it's Hosea chapter 2, verse 14. Can you put in the New King James Version? I'm just going to invite the worship team to come up. I'm just going to have a time to respond to the Lord. I got an amen earlier, but I want to get a smile. Let's see some smiles here. Jesus loves you. I love you. God is so good. Let's respond to Jesus. He's inviting us to return to our first love, for us to really cultivate and live in this reality of intimacy with him, being one with him. And he's calling us to be very fruitful in our own personal lives, and as a church, as his bride. Praise the Lord. I could have thrown an extra R in there, which would have been return. It says this at the end of the age, literally the Bible one of the last verses in the Bible says, the Spirit and the bride says, come. So this is in context of the return of Jesus. As I kind of said earlier, we're going to see the earth We're going to see a global harvest of souls. The church is going to be pure and spotless, one with Jesus, very fruitful, pure and holy, and it's all going to usher in our bridegroom. Oh, that's going to be a glorious day. It's coming soon. Let's get ready. Let's take advantage of the time the Lord's given us, especially during these first 40 days, and say yes to Jesus like never before. He's saying, I love you so passionately as a husband loves his bride, as he loves his wife. I love you so much, more than you could ever imagine. And I want you to enter into this relationship fresh and new like never before. I'm going to close with this passage out of Hosea, which I really kind of saw there's kind of a link here a little bit with that Matthew passage. I think maybe Jesus was thinking about this passage when he said that. Starting in verse 14. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 is on the bulletin. I'm going to read this last 9 chapters. Therefore, and as I'm going to close, I'm going to close with this passage, this scripture. We're just going to open up the altar, open up the seats, wherever you want to respond to the Lord. Just going to have this last closing moments just to respond to the Lord. And feel free to leave. You can respond to the Lord in the secret place of your home after you eat lunch. But we just want to open up this time of response to the Lord. But you may be dismissed. You may stay and respond longer with the Lord. Do as you feel the Holy Spirit leads you. I'm going to close with this passage and then be blessed for the rest of your day. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 through 23. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will draw her. I will bring her into the wilderness. This can mean a lot of things, but one of those is a time of fasting. Jesus was drawn into the wilderness. The Lord is alluring us into the wilderness, and I will speak comfort. I will speak tenderly to her. I will give her vineyards from their fruitfulness in the valley of Achor as a door of hope. The valley of Achor, also translated a valley of trouble. The Message translation, heartbreak valley. Achan sin. God kept on working on him, gave him so many opportunities to repent. He still didn't. God judged him. It is a great failure in the scriptures of someone who really, really, really messed up. Really, really bad. But I love this. He says, Valley of Achor is where Achan sinned. He says, Valley of Achor will be a door of hope. I feel like the Lord's saying, I'm going to lure you to the wilderness, and I'm not going to define you by your failures. I'm going to take your greatest failure, and I'm going to open up a door of hope, that I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. Your greatest weakness, your greatest fear, your greatest failure, I'm going to use for my glory. I'm opening up that door as a door of hope. I'm defining you differently. You are not defined by your failures and by your weakness. I am defining you as my victorious bride. She will sing there. I would be singing if that happened to me. As in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. New wineskins. For I will take away from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. Lord, remove all those idols. Remove everything that's hindering my love towards you. Lord, I want to love you first. I'm returning to my first love. Lord, remove the idols. Those things that I give my time and energy and affection towards that are not you. Lord Jesus, you are worthy of all my heart. Remove. Jesus is going to remove. All you have to do is bring your heart to Jesus. He says, I'm going to remove these idols. I'm going to remove these Baals from your mouth. From your heart, you won't even remember them anymore. In that day, we'll make a covenant with them. with the beasts of the field, with the birds of the air, with the creeping things of the ground. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth to make them lie down safely. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice and loving kindness and mercy. It's so true. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. And you shall know the Lord. Or other translations, and you shall know me for who I truly am. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, with oil. And they shall answer, Jezreel, or the Lord sows. And then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people, and they shall say, you are my God. The Lord's doing this. He's doing it in our hearts. He's doing it here at Hilltop. He's doing it across the world. He's preparing himself a bride for himself, pure and spotless. I just love it. And he's going to sow her into the earth. And there's going to be a worldwide revival. There's going to be grain. There's going to be a harvest. There's going to be new wine. There is going to be oil, an anointing and liberty in me. There is going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit and a great harvest in the last days. And we get to be a part of it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're just going to open up the altar, open up our time here just to respond to the Lord. Like I said, you are dismissed. The Lord bless you. Lord, I just thank you for your patience. I thank you for your kindness with my own heart. Lord, you love me in my weakness, and you love each and every one here, and you love us, Hilltop Campus Church, even in our weakness, even in our immaturity. But Lord, you've opened a door of opportunity in your mercy, Lord, for us to return to our first love, to experience you like never before. Lord, you're giving us new wineskins, a new way of doing things. Lord, to contain the precious new wine of intimacy. Oh, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. Do it in me. Do it in us. Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for this body, this bride of yours, Lord, that you are sanctifying. You're making ready for your return. Lord, you're alluring us, and Lord, you're cleansing us. Lord, and you are going to cause us to be very fruitful. Lord, you're going to sow us into our spheres of influence. You're going to sow us in the campus. You're going to sow us into the marketplace. You're going to sow us into the nations for a worldwide outpouring of your Holy Spirit, a great end times harvest that will usher in our bridegroom, King, and Judge. Oh, we say yes to you. We say yes to you, Holy Spirit. Do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, feel free to be dismissed. Feel free to respond to the altar. If you'd like prayer, we'll pray for you. If you want to just respond.